Welcome to the holiday episode of Pearls of Passage. I'm your host, Ellie Atherton. This week, I have a sweet story about the gift of giving from my first book, Stepping Stones. Before I begin, I'd like to wish you and your family a beautiful holiday together. And as always, I thank you for making time in your week to listen to my podcast. Here's the gift of giving. Does it take practice to die? Like many of the patients I cared for, Jimmy made several practice attempts before he actually said his final goodbye and left his tired body behind. I would take his cue when he stopped eating and began to sleep all day. At that point, I would alert the family that he was entering his final phase, or so I thought. The first time this practice attempt occurred, Jimmy had been in bed for a couple of days and had no interest in food or conversation. I told his wife, Susan, that this was usually a sign that the patient was beginning to make his way. This could go on for days. The exact timeline was hard to predict, as it was a personal matter. I encouraged her to let the kids know so they could come and say their goodbyes. Little did I know that the house would fill to the brim with family and friends. That evening, there was a steady stream of people in and out of the bedroom, each one taking a turn, sitting at Jimmy's bedside. Most were having teary conversations as they tried to say goodbye to the man they loved, husband, father, grandfather, uncle, brother, friend, and neighbor. I expected to find Jimmy in bed the next day, well into his dying process. But as I pulled into the driveway, I saw him, smack dab in front of me, sitting in his lawn chair on the deck, smoking a cigarette. I let out a huge laugh and waved to him through the car window. He nodded and smiled back as a ring of smoke wafted above his head. Boy, do I have a lot to learn, I thought. I shouldn't have been surprised by any of this. Jimmy was the patriarch of the family, and everyone relied on him for guidance and support. He was strong, and I had learned that he was the one who kept things on an even keel. Leaving his family would be difficult for him, and I had sensed by their reactions to my conversations with them that they were not ready to let him go. The next time it happened, I found him sitting at the kitchen table having lunch. Once again, he had been in bed for a couple of days, not wanting to talk to anyone, not interested in food. He was busy doing the usual and necessary work he needed to do in order to prepare himself and his family for his death. The positive aspect of practicing to die is that it allows the family time to move closer to reality. This man and his family taught me many great lessons. Their life was simple. They worked hard to pay their bills, and when one of them needed help, another family member was always there for support. Caring for Jimmy when he became ill meant a paycheck would be lost if they wanted to care for him at home until he died. After a family discussion, his wife Susan chose to be the 24/7 caregiver. Doing so with grace and acceptance of the struggles it would mean for them, emotionally and financially. Jimmy's family was always incredibly kind and respectful to the hospice staff. They never put on airs and had no unrealistic expectations of what we could offer. Instead, they exhibited pure and honest gratitude for our care of Jimmy. The humbleness, kindness, and realness of this family made me a better person simply by being in their presence. When Thanksgiving came, they all contributed a dish or two, so no one person carried the burden of all the cooking or paying for all the food to feed the large crowd. Susan said they were most thankful that year to have Jimmy at the table with them. At each December visit, I wondered when they would put up their holiday tree. The week before Christmas, there was still no tree in the home. This broke my heart. Apparently, and with good reason, the hefty price of a fresh-cut tree was not in their tight budget. On my drive home that evening, I decided that somehow I was going to get them a Christmas tree. Although I was a single mom of three, struggling with my own financial issues at Christmas, I knew it would make me so happy to give them the unexpected gift. I remembered passing a roadside stand that was selling Christmas trees and wreaths. My plan was to see if Jimmy and Susan had gotten a tree by the time I made my next visit. If not, I would excuse myself in order to buy them one and return with the surprise. How fun! So the next afternoon, I took $50 out of my savings account and tucked it away in the small pocket of my wallet for safekeeping. Sure enough, a couple of days later, there was still no sign of a Christmas tree. I reviewed Jimmy's symptoms and medications as usual with him and Susan. After we finished our visit, I said, "There's something I need to do. Would you mind if I left and came back in a little while?" Susan said, "Sure, go ahead. Take your time. We're not going anywhere." They laughed together. No questions were asked. I left quickly, excited about completing my secret mission, and drove to where I had seen the Christmas tree stand. I pulled in, and my heart sank. They had packed up shop, and all the trees were gone. "Oh no, this can't be," I thought. Then I remembered that most roadside stands don't continue to sell trees so close to Christmas. I was deeply disappointed, and I knew I wouldn't find another Christmas tree stand anywhere nearby for the same reason. I looked around the empty lot, spotting a few scraggly trees left lying on the ground. I walked over to them and stood them up one at a time, but they would not do for this important gift. "I hate to be picky," I said, speaking out loud to God, "but this is not what I had in mind for my gift." A few scattered branches and small sections of cut-off trunks were lying around on the ground, a big mess left behind. I looked around, not ready to give up, and noticed the little trailer the staff had huddled in to stay warm. I prayed that someone would be there. I knocked several times, but heard no response. Still hoping somebody was there, I knocked harder. "Hello?" I yelled, knocking even more forcefully. No answer. I looked around again at the scattered mess, and that's when I saw it. One Christmas tree wrapped in the plastic twine that makes it compact and easier for travel. I couldn't believe my eyes. "It's for them," I said. Then I looked upward. "Is this okay?" The for sale signs were gone, along with the tables, and there were no homes or businesses nearby I could inquire. I hope I'm doing the right thing. I had to trust my instincts as I approached the lone tree and stood it up next to me. It was a tall tree, over 6 feet, and I wondered how the heck I was going to fit it into my little car. "Okay, I sure hope you can help me with this next part, too," I said. I walked over and opened the rear door on the driver's side of my little sedan and started to push the tree in trunk first. Much to my surprise, it went in easily. I was able to tuck the top of the tree inside with gentle bending. Then I shut the door and heard it latch. Thank you, God! A surge of incredible energy passed through me as I thought about what had just transpired because I had refused to give up. This reminded me that when you do things with an authentic, heartfelt purpose, they seem to work out in ways you could not have imagined. I was overjoyed and still perplexed about how the large tree had fit so easily into the back seat of my car. I knew there was more to my plan when I saw all the evergreen branches scattered on the ground. I thought they could make a lovely wreath or garland for the door, so I gathered the ones with nice shapes and put them in the trunk of my car. I was elated as I drove back to Jimmy and Susan's house. I could hardly wait to deliver the tree to this wonderful and humble family, especially because it would be Jimmy's last Christmas with them. After I parked my car close to the house, I pulled that huge tree out of the back seat of my car with ease. I was still amazed that it was compact enough to fit. I carried it up to the deck and leaned it against the railing, then retrieved the branches from the trunk. I brought them up, laid them in a neat pile next to the tree, and knocked on the door. "Come in," several voices called out. Their daughter Kara was there, so I said to the three of them, I brought you a Christmas tree. I hope that's okay. You did? That's wonderful. Oh my God, thank you. Kara just about bowled me over as she gave me a big hug. I could feel her gratefulness and emotion. Checking my own emotions, I said, I don't know what it will look like when you set it up. It's in plastic tree wrap. I sure hope it's a nice shape. They thanked me so many times, you would think I had given them a pot of gold. I was never so happy to do a good deed for a family as I was on that day. At my next visit, 2 days later, I saw the deck nicely decorated all the way around with tree branches. Their home looked absolutely beautiful. I knocked on the door, eager to see what the tree looked like out of its wrapper. Come in, two voices called out. Inside the living room stood the most beautiful Christmas tree I had ever seen. It gave me goosebumps. Look at your tree. It's beautiful, Susan said. It's your tree. It was just waiting for me to deliver it. We all laughed at the thought. Jimmy and Susan reported that the children and grandchildren had enjoyed helping decorate the tree. They told me they loved looking at the whole display with its beautiful lights. I could see that they had placed a few gifts underneath the tree, which indicated their anticipation of the upcoming celebration. I was holding back tears as I listened to their stories and witnessed how happy they both were, all from this simple gift that I had felt guided to bring them. A few weeks after the holiday, Jimmy began what we thought was another practice session. He fooled me again. This time, it was the real thing. And the family's hearts were better prepared. They were glad to have had the chance to celebrate another Thanksgiving and Christmas together. Mostly, they said they were pleased he could make his way with all of their love and goodbyes shared many times over. This gift he gave them was due in part to his need for practice sessions. I never forgot this important lesson regarding the gift of practice sessions. It helps patients who have fears to take their time and gently step away when they are ready. At the same time, it helps loved ones prepare themselves, at least to some degree. As divine intervention would have it, I was on call the night Jimmy died. I was so grateful that I was the one to get the call and perform the pronouncement. I understood it was comforting for his wife to have my familiar voice at the other end of the phone. I'm so sorry, Susan. I'm heading out and I'll see you soon, I said. As expected, the house was packed when I arrived. The large family thanked me one by one that night. Susan and the children shared their gratitude for the hospice team. They appreciated all the care that the team and I had given Jimmy over the 11 months that we had visited. In turn, I told them they would never know the many lasting gifts they had given me. I thanked them for allowing me into their home and their lives during such a private time. The next time I took my car in for an oil change, a funny thing happened. The clerk at the checkout desk retrieved my keys from the service man, and I could see the two of them talking and laughing as he passed them to her. When she returned to her desk, she chuckled and said, I have to ask you something. Did you put a Christmas tree in the back seat of your car? I smiled, realizing my car had been vacuumed as a courtesy, and said, I did. That tree was over 6 feet tall. No way! You fit a 6 foot tall Christmas tree in the back seat of that little car? Would you like to hear the story? I asked, knowing I had already piqued her curiosity. She laughed again. Sure. Without using any names or locations, I shared the story. The young woman listened intently. I could see she was tearing up when I went on, and I started to get a little choked up myself. When I finished, she wiped a tear from her cheek. I love that story. Can I share it with others? She asked. Sure, It's a true story of Christmas. Each time I returned for an oil change, she always remembered me. You're the Christmas tree lady, she would say, smiling at me. Yes, I am. Thanks for remembering me, I would respond with a sense of honor and joyful memories of Jimmy, his family, and the miraculous Christmas tree. Wishing peace to all, and to all a good life.